good singing all the way around. It's just a blessing from on high to be back in the house of God today on this fine Lord's Day. And so we thank God for that. I'm thinking about, you know, all these boys and girls and these young men and these young ladies in our church. And I was thinking about the most important thing that you could ever have. You know what's more important than a young man marrying a good young lady? You know what's something more important? Getting born again. You know what's more important than a young lady getting married to a young man? Getting born again. Now, if you're already born again, hey, you've got past the most important part. And all you got to do is just kind of wait on God and be looking. You can sometimes drop a few hints. Like, you know, I don't think they work and all that business there. But you might walk up to somebody, you know, if you're a man, say, hey, you know, you're a pretty nice looking lady. You remind me of my first wife. How many wives you had? You'll be the first. See? If you're still standing upright and they haven't knocked you down, hey, you young ladies. Never mind. I'm not gonna. You remember that old gal that was so desperate? If she was out praying, she was in, unbeknown to her, there was an owl in the tree above her. She was praying, Lord, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I need a boyfriend. I need a husband. I need a man. I'm just desperate and all of that. Now, who the owl said, who? She said, it doesn't matter, Lord. Anybody will do at this point. Yeah, sorry about it, Sully. Take your Bible, if you will, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, good singing all the way around tonight. Congregation, special music. We just bless the Lord for his goodness and mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. You find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. The Bible said, now this is the third time I'm coming to you. You get that? This is the third time that I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek the proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, and yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but ye shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, and know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for having heard and answered prayer. Thank you for those that you've saved, those, that, Lord, that have followed you in baptism, those that, Lord, that are faithful in the church of the living God that you've added. Now, I pray your blessings upon this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, I'm going to preach a little while tonight on some matters that ought to be examined. When we look into that, and we use these passages every now and again, but here he's reminding us this is the third time that I'm coming to you. Why do you think that he wanted to make a three-time run? I'll tell you why. We're prone to forget one and two. And as we look into it, you're going to find out that as we rehearse this verse over and over and over again, and that we're reminded of the fact that we, who we really are and where God has really brought us from. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that every now and again that I might be able to just stop and reminisce. Thank God for how good he's been, where he brought me from, where I would have been and could have been had it not been for the grace of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said that if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives his own self. Now, I'm going to tell you, Baptist churches are full of that. I don't mean that to be ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it sounds ugly. But the Bible said in the passages that we're looking at is that we're to prove our own selves. Are you a child of God? Well, you ought to prove it then. People ought to be able to see and tell at a glance by listening to you, by seeing your mannerisms and how you act. Let me just tell you right now, every now and again, I may be out there in the world with some God-cussing, beer-drinking heathen, and I'm not running with that crowd, but I might be out there and somebody comes by. But I guarantee you, I'm not living like he's living. I'm not living like she's living. I'm not acting the way they're acting. I can tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, dear friend. When we got saved, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we've been since that day proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in the sight of God and men. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the thing that we ought to be able to examine, number one, is that the matter of salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to examine that every now and again. I'm not examining it to be able to see if I am saved. Buddy, I am saved. So saved is plumb pitiful. But I like to be able to reminisce where God brought me from and would have been had it not been for the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. And I'm reminded, because God reminded me three times, that I ought to be realizing that Jesus is going to come again. And when he does come again, I hope he'll not find you busily about occupied about other men's matters, but be busily occupied about his matter, see. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that, by the way, do you know that when we talk about going to heaven, we talk about this life, we talk about salvation, do you know that eternity's at stake here? That's what we're looking at. All of you wives and all of you husbands, and one of the things that you ought to do, first thing, you got to be concerned about yourself. Number two is you ought to be concerned about your spouse and about your house. And by the way, let me tell you that one of these days we're going to leave one another. Ever since that we've had children, we've watched them grow and we've watched them get saved and we've watched them grow in grace and love and knowledge of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, make no mistake about it, we're preparing them to leave us, because we're going to be leaving them one of these days. And as a result of that, you're going to find out one way or the other, that's just the way that it is. I would to God it wasn't that way and that I could change, but God didn't consult you and I. And as hurtful as it may be when one departs and goes to the other side, I went out to the cemetery, and as I do, I try to go every week, sometime every couple of weeks. And I go. I noticed, by the way, I like the little windmill out there. Did y'all know you didn't take them zip ties off of there? Did y'all notice that? Did y'all put them on there? Well, it's got to, let me just take time out right here for a minute. It's got a bunch of zip ties. It's got a chicken on it that when the wind's blowing, that buddy will go to pecking. And it's got two or three little old birds up there that would be flying. And I thought, well, obviously they're afraid it's going to sling all that off. You know, we've already had two windmills, and one of them we found the propeller over there stuck in the top of a fence. And another one just finally, you know, all the nuts and bolts fell out of it. But this one here, I looked at it and I thought, hey, that's cute, it's a button. And I come that close to taking this pocket knife and cutting that buddy free, but I didn't. I thought they may have put them on there themselves. I said I'd like to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out, is that one of these days, and I went out there and I noticed that I'm not in there. But if the Lord tears his coming very many years, I will be. See? And so, of course, I want to see that rooster pecking before then, but nonetheless, I don't have to wait till then. This concerning, he said, this is the third time, and it's a matter of salvation that he's talking about. And I want to tell you something. You better recognize and realize that when we talk about getting this thing right, being right on target, with God, you'd better be, because we're talking about eternity's at stake. Do you realize that if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell without the Lord? Not because he doesn't love you, but because of the fact that you have not received the love of the truth that you might be saved. We've got family, we've got friends that are dear to our hearts. Some of them are close kin. I can promise you right now, they, oh, don't you worry about me. I can't help but worry about you, because what I got in my heart and what I see in you is two different things. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to have to remember that whenever Christ turned at you unto him. Remember that? What a wonderful day it was. You know, the Bible said, we've read it here, know how that Jesus Christ is in you. Well, it's not by water that you're in him. It's by the word of the Lord. That's why we're in him. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, this Bible says, is that we'd better remember. Look in Psalms 119, and don't lose the thought of your text, but look in Psalm chapter number 119. It's about verse number 59, that's where it's at. And we're going to be looking at a passage there in Psalm chapter 119, about verse number 59. Now, here's what he says. I thought on my ways. Look at it. There's a man that's been reminded three times, no doubt, in days gone by. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, you know what the idea is here that's before us? Here's a man that's checking if he's in step with God or not. You know, every now and again, I'm not talking about checking to be, see if you're saved. You already got that settled. But you ever check just to make sure you're in step with God? You ought to check with him just to be sure, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm in step with you. There's a passage that's over there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I want you to turn to it because it's very vital that you see it. God saved us, snatched us as a ram from the burning. And let me say to you that I'm glad that I am saved, and I can remember before I got saved what I was and how I was. And, you know, I had a pretty foul mouth. In fact, is, you know, working at a mechanic shop. There's one thing about it. I'm sort of like that preacher was one time. He was walking down the street, and there's a young man there, had a little old garage sale, a street sale, a sidewalk sale. And the preacher walked by, and he said, young man, is that a lawnmower for sale? Yeah, preacher, but that thing here will make you cuss. Oh, he said, young man, I'm not worried about that. I've been saved for many years now, and the Lord just delivered me from all of that. I don't even think I'd know how to cuss anymore. He said, that lawnmower, bring it back to you. And he kept on talking to him until finally the young man sold it to him. That afternoon when he went by, the preacher was out there, man. And he was sweating, dropping off his nose. His hair was all messed up. He'd been yanking and pulling on that thing, choking it and pulling some more, cranking on it and all that business there. And he said, hey, preacher, have you cussed on it yet? He said, no, not yet. He said, keep cranking on it. It'll come back to you. See. That's true, isn't it, in life? But I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, you'll find out that the reason in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and about verse number 23, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And here's what he says, verse 23, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And he brought us out from the thence that he might bring us in. Look at that. He brought us out of one condition of lostness that he might bring us into the family of God, see? And I'll tell you something. He said that he might give us this land which is where our fathers, so forth and so on. And then he warns about keeping all my statutes and all of my word and so forth and on. Over there in the book of Joshua in chapter number 24, and you ain't got to turn there, but you'll find out that God, Joshua had rehearsed it into the ears of the children of Israel and prayed and asked and said, Lord, preserve us in all thy way. I'm glad to be able to know that you and I can remember the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that what he said? Where was that? Romans chapter 1 about verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. I'm glad to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I will tell you, every now and again, you ought to just rehearse about how good God's been and think about where God brought you from and where you are tonight and would have been had it not been for the grace of God. In the book of Exodus, the Bible says in chapter number 13 and in verse number 14, he said, and it shall be that whenever thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And it came to pass that when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast, and therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that open the matrix and being males and all the firstborn, my children, I redeem. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, we ought to have a testimony tonight that our boys and girls can see and hear. We ought to have a testimony that our children can see and hear, that our colleagues up and down the road can see and hear. Make no mistake about it, I'm glad that it's not just a matter of going through the motions. It's not just a matter of bowing your head and repeating a prayer. But it's being washed by the blood and born into the family of God by the power of God. It's a matter of not only salvation, it's a matter of your work. God said, prove your own work. You ought to check up every now and again on your own work. Every man's work, any man's work, God said we ought to be able to check upon ourselves every now and again and prove our own selves, whether you be in the faith or not. Remember over there in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia, he said, one of the reasons why that I know that you're all right, because you've kept my words and been faithful to my testimony and my word. Let me say to you, I'm glad that if you're a child of God, it's easy to check up. If you're right with God, you'll keep the word of the Lord. If you're not keeping the word of God, then what is it? What is it you've got going for yourself that God don't know nothing about? Well, let me tell you right up front, in case you're guessing at it, nothing. God knows the beginning from the end all the way around. This Bible said we're not to add to his word nor take away from it unless we be found to be a liar. I want to say to you, never say more than the word says. Never say less than the word says. You know, if you're busy about the Father's business, and if you're doing like Deuteronomy chapter 4, don't turn there. But whenever he said you're not to add to nor diminish from it the word of the Lord. You ever be talking along to somebody, and all of a sudden, you know, you kept straining, and then you thought maybe of something you wanted to say, and you finally worked it up to where now you're about thinking about saying it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Never say more or less than the word of the Lord says. If you've got to look that hard for it, see what I'm talking about? Now, you're going to also run up on this place every now and again to where that you're through, you're out of soap. As far as you're concerned, the wash is over. But then the Holy Ghost of God brings to your heart and mind a passage that all of a sudden you know needs to be spoken. By all means, speak it. See? You know what? What makes a mess is when we're trying to do God's work for him without his leadership. Why do you think God wouldn't want that person to be able to hear that passage of Scripture? Because it might be a swine that would turn again to rend you. See, I worked with a fellow one time, and he was sitting across the table in a restaurant from a couple that was over here on this side. And he said, he reached across there in a minute and just smacked the fire out. He said, man, I'm telling you right now, that was so rude. My blood went to boiling. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to, hey, fella, that's not necessary. She's already crying. I mean, isn't that enough? And he said both of them came out of that booth and jumped on him. And he said, I thought both of them were going to beat me to death. Sometimes you need to remember the word said, don't grab the dog by the ear. Sometimes some of you act like you have been out there trying to. I want to say to you, it's a matter of our walk that we're walking with. We better agree with God. We better walk with God. We better be in fellowship with God. You know, is that the Bible said over in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter number 8, and here's a passage that you really ought to look at, and it's in chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, and it's in about verse number 10 that we're going to be looking at. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and about verse number 10. Now watch what he says in the matter that we're looking at. He says in verse number 10, chapter 8, he said, and so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. And this is also vanity. Now watch that. These are people, and what a sad commentary that it is. They knew where the place of the holy was. They knew where the house of God was. They knew something about the Word of God, no doubt about it. And they had come and gone from the place of the holy and died without the Lord. What a sad thing that is. I want to say to you that, if you will, the reason being, no doubt, they could not agree to be able to walk with God. Now, I'm going to give you two passages, and one of them's in Psalm 73 in a moment. And the other one's in Psalm 77, and I'd like you to mark those, and we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. But I want to say to you that, if you will, please, it's a matter of worship. You and I ought to be able to worship God in spirit and truth, and we ought to encourage one another in the things in the matter of worship. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, it means our attendance. It means being able to ask others and talk to others. It means tithing, giving to missions. It means witnessing. It means living for God. It means being obedient to the word of the Lord. And even at best, you and I, the Psalm Asaph said in Psalm 73, verse 17, here's what he said. And he said, you know what? He said, I was envious at the wicked, if you read the first part of the chapter. And he got to thinking, they've got it better than I've got it. And then look in verse 17 of Psalm 73. And he said all that, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. If you read the rest of it, he realized that, oh, I'm going to be with the Lord forever. Yes. This person that I'm envious of is, when they die, they're going to be without hope and without God. Psalm 77, and we're going to be closing with it. Verse 13. The Bible said there, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now, you know what the sanctuary is? Well, it's the house of God. You know what the house of God is? The Bible said it's the gate to heaven. Do you realize that? Oh, he said, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Well, there's nobody great as God. Now, look at that passage, verse 13 again. The next time somebody says, you ain't got to go to church in order to be a Christian. The Bible said the way of God's in the house of God. The way of God's in the sanctuary. That's the way of God. The way of man sitting out there somewhere on the bank trying to fish while church is going on, or deer hunt while church is going on, or mowing their grass or plowing or planting or whatever. The way of God is in the sanctuary. And you know, I can tell you right now is that every time I gather together like this, I look across here. I remember when others that were with us, that'll meet us on the other side. And I can go through their names, and I can mention them. I'm not, but God, I miss them. I really miss them. And I want to tell you right now is that that's one of the reasons why that I made up my mind wasn't going to change too much about this auditorium. I used to look at a young man sitting right here on the front that was right there by these boys. And every time I'd say something humorous, he'd look back to see if y'all were getting it or not. And sometimes you would. And sometimes it was, meow, like right over your head. I want to say to you that it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Have you examined yourself lately? In case you didn't get that, have you examined yourself lately? Let me try third time charm. This is the third time I'm asking, have you examined yourself lately? Well, it's good to do every now and again just to find out if you're in step with the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us even while we've been unlovable. Those that could not be. I pray that now that you'd move upon us and within us, we pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Dear God, may you trouble them and grant them repentance and faith till they find peace with thee. We'll thank you in advance.